Turn with me to Haggai. Just after Habakkuk. So if you were in church this morning, you know where Haggai is. And then I'd like you to also turn, keep your fingers there and turn with me to Revelation chapter 7. In Haggai chapter 2, we read these verses. And again, the word of the Lord from verse 20 to verse 20. Again, the word of the Lord came to Haggai on the 24th day of the month, saying, "Speak to Zerubbabel, governor of Judah, saying, I will shake heaven and earth. I will overthrow the thrones of kingdoms. I will destroy the strength of the Gentile kingdoms. I will overthrow the chariots and those who ride in them. The horses and their riders shall come down, everyone by the sword of his brother. In that day, says the Lord of hosts, I will take you, Zerubbabel, my servant, the son of Shealtiel, says the Lord, and will make you a signet ring, for I have chosen you, says the Lord of hosts." Folks, as I read that some months ago, it struck a chord. There's something special about it. And I looked at this, I've been trying to research and try and find what is a signet ring. What is so important about a signet ring? As I began to read this and do a bit of study on this, I came to the realization that Zerubbabel is of the line of David, the lineage of David. In other words, he falls in that kingly lineage from which Jesus Christ was born. And folk, as we look at that history of Zerubbabel, his great-grandfather, his grandfather, God said to him, "I remove the signet ring from you because of the sin in your life." And because of that, they went into bondage, into slavery in Babylon. And as we look at this whole history of this, Zerubbabel himself was born in Babylon. He didn't know his actual home country. Yeah, he gets this opportunity to go back to Jerusalem, to go and rebuild Jerusalem. And he takes it with everything that he possibly can. And Haggai brings a word to those in Jerusalem, telling them, listen, it's time to get the temple of God up and going. Time to build it. You're living in these fancy houses, some of which some of the material you've used was intended for the temple. And he says, guys, this has got to stop. And God gives him a word of prophecy for those people. And then after that, everybody thinks, oh, this is great. But Haggai has a very special word for Zerubbabel. He says, "I will make you like a signet. I have chosen you." And folk, that talks of reinstatement. Even though his grandfather had sinned, and we know what the Bible says, the sins of the fathers fall on third and fourth generation. And here this young man is, and God's saying, "I've chosen you. I'm going to reinstate you. I'm going to make you like a signet ring." And who was that signet ring? It was some 500 years later, Jesus Christ comes as the signet ring, the seal for you and I. For you and I. We know that these seals were made in the first century. And a lot of times we see governments use seals. What? To mark their items so that there's no embezzlement, there's no theft. They stamp it on those items. Kings use their signet rings to seal documents so that that document would carry the authority of the king. The royal stamp of heaven is set upon all our souls, and that stamp belongs to God. Every redeemed person is marked. Everyone that God has purchased back has that seal upon them. You and I are marked with the Holy Spirit because we belong to God. We need to understand that our seal is the Holy Spirit, which was promised and is now given. In His presence, in our hearts, it is His presence in our hearts which is the evidence of our approval in the sight of God. You see, as the Holy Spirit comes upon us, it just makes us, it shows us that God approves of us. We have heard the gospel of salvation. We have trusted in our Lord Jesus Christ and are sealed with a seal from heaven. The truth, there are numerous implications with the signet ring or the seal of God. There's numerous implications that can affect us and potentially have an impact on our spiritual lives. And tonight I want to take that word seal, S-E-A-L, and I'll use it as an acronym tonight so that we might begin to understand the implications that and the impact it can have on our lives. The first one is our status. S for status. This seal says that God has acknowledged your status, that your identity and authenticity is legitimate. Why? Because God knows it. He knows His children. And folks, as we look at the story of the prodigal son, it's a beautiful image of God's restoration. Zerubbabel, the son of Shealtiel, was restored when God said, I will make you like a signet ring. What happened with the prodigal son? What a beautiful image of identity. We see the son, even though he was far removed in relational attitude towards his father, he was still the father's son. No matter what our children do, they still remain our children. And as the story unfolds, the signet ring plays the role because it is placed or replaced upon the finger of the prodigal's hand. And that's what happened when God said, I have chosen you, Zerubbabel. You see, most nobility carry a walk around with a signet ring, their mark, and they put it on, those documents, or whatever it is needed. In Luke 15:22, but the father said to his servant, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Quick, not take your time about it. Hurry up. My son is back. Hurry up, I want him to see that he's reinstated. He's still my son. He's still important to me. All these items restore to the son are items to show his identity. Oh, sure, they can represent other things as well. But you know what, folk? They show the son to be a son, not a hired laborer. He wasn't a laborer at all, as he assumed he would be. You know what assume means? You make an ass of yourself and me. Okay. But folk, we mustn't assume things. Because God doesn't assume it. When He puts that signet ring upon you or says, I will make you like a signet ring, He's not saying you're going to be a servant. He's saying, you are an heir with my son, Jesus Christ. folk, that identity, that status is there for you and I. Your status can be seen in the seal. In 2 Timothy, it says, nevertheless, God's solid foundation stands firm, sealed with this inscription, the Lord knows those who are His, and everyone who confesses the name of the Lord must turn away from wickedness. Through Jesus Christ, you have been restored and you belong to Father God. You belong to the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. God can and will keep His very own. He seals them. He makes them. Nobody must touch Him because they have His seal upon them. Our Lord Jesus has taken responsibility and ownership for that. You belong to Him. He owns you as you give your life to Him. You are safe and saved in Jesus Christ. Salvation belongs to our God who sits on the throne and to the Lamb, as we read in Revelation 7:10. The second letter is E. And we're looking at endorsement. This seal implies endorsement, divine approval and acceptance. We're divinely approved of. We've divinely accepted into the kingdom, folk. And I think it's time for us to begin to get excited and start rejoicing at the fact that I am an heir. I have been accepted. I am approved of. The prodigal son not only helps us understand our status as it relates to identity, it also helps us get a grip of our approval, our acceptance by God. You see, we see our incompleteness. We see our failure. We see our sin. But God, however, sees us in Christ and knows that we are becoming and will become what He desires in us. From the prodigal's vantage point, he was unworthy of being identified with his father. But his father had other ideas. And folk, tonight I want to tell you, God has other ideas. You see, we need to understand this. Love covers a multitude of sins, and grace restores the son's relationship. Grace and love restore us into the very presence of God. It's not something you can purchase, folk. It's not something that's given to you, that you have to go and try and achieve through works. Grace is freely given. Love is freely given by Jesus Christ. And it's through that that we are restored. We need to look no further than the book of Revelation to grasp this principle for ourselves. There we learn that we will be Christ's bride, spotless and blameless. Oh yes, we see in chapter 12 of Revelation, there is one who wants to accuse you and discredit your worthiness. But he is cast out of God's presence. And the one who stands on your behalf, Jesus Christ, gives you a ringing endorsement. When you apply for certain positions or privileges in life, the proper endorsements make all the difference. Those endorsements are your testimonials. They make all the difference. It was in some cases, it's who you know, not what you know. All right. The right person calls in your favor or on your behalf and vouches for you, you in. Well, there's one in heaven who gives you a ringing endorsement. In John 6, verse 27, we read this. Do not labor for food that perishes, but for food which endures to eternal life, which the Son of Man will give you, because God the Father has set His seal on Him. You stand before God approved and endorsed because of your relationship with Jesus Christ. Nothing else will get you into the presence of God, but with Jesus, it's as good as done. The Bible tells us, Jesus is the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes through the Father but through Him. Folk, it's through Jesus Christ that we can come into the presence of God. Rejoice. God's seal within you is the Holy Spirit and the evidence that He's going to accept you by. The third letter that we look at is A. We have the assurance. It provides us with an unswaying guarantee of assurance, divine protection, and security. That's what this is. It gives us that security and protection. Revelation 7:3 says, do not harm the land or the sea or the trees and pitch until we put a seal on the forehead of the servants of our God. Ephesians 4 verse 30, and grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby you are sealed until the day of redemption. God has anointed us, set His seal of ownership upon us, and put His Spirit in our hearts as a deposit, guaranteeing what is to come. Do you recall the story of Nehemiah? How he was this king's cupbearer. He hears what's happening in Jerusalem. We know that the cupbearer may not come into the presence of the king with a face hanging down. You know, you've got to, Keith, and you've got to roll the lip up. Okay. You cannot do that. And Nehemiah is so touched by what is happening in Jerusalem, he doesn't realize his countenance or his expressions are down. The king says to him, Nehemiah, what's going on? And there's that instant prayer, Lord God, help me. What do I do now? What do I say to the king? End result was that the king gives him everything he needs, and he gives him a letter sealed with his seal. That gave him authority to travel freely from Babylon all the way through back to Jerusalem and to begin to build the temple. And nobody could touch him. He had the protection of the king. And folk, tonight I want to tell you what. We have protection not of an earthly king, but of a heavenly king who has placed his seal upon you and I. A seal that cannot be broken. Nobody can come up against it. God's seal on the saints gives safe passage to His people. It's so safe that hell cannot overcome it. Yes, we all know that hell will try, and is trying in vain. Because if they try and fight against it, they're fighting up against the king. They're not fighting you and I. We do not fight against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers. But you know what? We have a king who has more authority, who's more powerful, and is able to protect you and I. See, we have the assurance of victory because God provides us that protection and that security. It is a guarantee of the provision that we need as well. It does not mean that our enemy is not going to be foolish enough to attack us. He will. But it means that we can overcome. That seal, the Holy Spirit within us, helps us to become the overcomers that we need to be. By the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony, we are able to overcome. Your safe passage has been secured and provided by the King of Kings. Just as Nehemiah had a claim and quiet assurance that our sovereign God was on his side, he would accomplish his task. So you and I, tonight, in our lives, can negate the arrows of life with the same blessed assurance. I believe tonight the final letter is L. Stands for legacy. We have an awesome legacy in Jesus Christ. You see, it's our inheritance. And it's our destiny that is settled and sealed. In Romans 8, 15 through 17, we read this. For you did not receive a spirit that makes you a slave again to fear, but you received a spirit of sonship. Awesome, isn't it? And by him we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. I like it. The Spirit of God testifies with you and I that we are God's children. That's because the Spirit is the stamp of approval, the stamp that seals it. Now we are children, then we are heirs, heirs of God and co-heirs with Christ. If indeed we share his suffering in order that we may also share in his glory. Ephesians 1, 12 through 14 says this. And you also were included in Christ when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation. Having believed, you were marked in him with a seal. Having believed, you were marked with a seal. The promised Holy Spirit, who is a deposit guaranteeing our inheritance until the redemption of those who are God's possession to the praise of his glory. We are God's possession, folks. We belong to him. Those are powerful words. They settle the question and make us a promise from heaven tonight. If you don't know it, there's a promise being made for you. No wonder, as heirs of heaven, we are being described as being confident. You see, because we are children of God, we can be confident. We can step out with boldness. We can achieve and conquer. We are joyful. Now suddenly I've got a name of being what? That I attack people or that I tease people mercifully. You know what, folk? No harm in it. Dead to make him joyful. Make him smile. We've got to be joyful. Life is a bitter pill. We don't have to walk around as if we've lost a penny and lost a pound and picked up a penny. Let's put our faces into action and start smiling. Let's show the world that we have Jesus inside. Let's show the world that the Holy Spirit lives inside of us and start smiling. Thirdly, that we are blessed. Yes, if God is within us, he blesses us. Amen? And as I conclude tonight, folk, the prophets talk much about the mark of the beasts. I want to say this. Don't you think it makes a lot of sense in to make sure that we have the mark of God in our lives? It seems to be far better to use our time as those in chapter 7 of Revelation, celebrating and praising God's grace and assurance that it does, scaring ourselves about the mark of the beast. Is it not far more effective to proclaim the gospel that offers new life and new identity to a world that is desperately in need of it? You see, folk, that's where our victory comes, because that's what God wants. There's a reason God's seal and ownership is first and foremost. It's because it is the real deal and worthy of our examination. And folk, I want us, the next week or so, just to go and examine your seal. That seal that God has placed on you, examine it. Tell you what, very soon you're going to walk around with a smile on your face, confident and knowing that you are blessed. The signet seal is Jesus Christ. It gives you hope and drives away all despair. And that's why I said, as soon as you begin to examine it, all despair disappears. Joy comes in its place. It gives you confidence and you are blessed. What could be more valuable in imparting these gifts to you than God letting you know that He knows and you are sealed until the day of redemption? God wants you to know you have been sealed. You have been. And folk, I want to say to the church tonight, take care. Take heart, church. God is on your side. God has called us. God has chosen us. And God will use us in what He wants us to be used in. In fact, He sealed us as His children. He'll make us as signet rings. When the time comes, there's always a time. There's always a time. You know what? Let's wait for God, not man. Man cannot do it for us. God does. Let God be God. Let God have the freedom to do what is best for His church, that bride that is supposed to be blameless and spotless. Amen. Gracious Father, tonight, as we just bow here, Father, You know each and every one of our hearts. You know what has been spoken. You know where we act. But Father God, tonight, I pray that each one will know Your seal upon their lives. I pray, Father, that tonight will be a night of the difference. That we will hear You. And that we will be patient and wait for that time when You say, I have chosen You, You are mine. I have chosen You, and I will make you like a signet ring. And so, Father, let us hold fast to that seal, Your Holy Spirit within our lives. Not quenching Your Spirit, but moving each and every day in the ways that You want us to move in. I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.